This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Our good friend Jason Caldwell is next with us, covers the Auburn Tigers for Inside the Auburn Tigers, autigers.com, on Twitter at ITATJason. And he joins us now on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. What's up, Jason? How are you?
I'm good, guys. How about y'all?
Doing well. Thanks a lot. Let's start with the Auburn scrimmage. Brian Harsin, after the scrimmage, said, we got to move on to new mistakes. We keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. I know you weren't there. People weren't allowed to see the scrimmage. But if you just a gut feeling had to guess, what are those same mistakes over and over and over again? Where do you think some of those might fall?
Yeah, we asked him about the offensive line, and he said there's too many times where, the group is really good when they kind of are scheming or scheduling things. Say, hey, here's what we're going to do, these four plays. He said, but when they put the ball down and, call plays from the sidelines, those things, too many mistakes and too many, guys that maybe are left unblocked or guys that are let free off the edge or in the middle. And I think that's probably where it starts. When those things happen, then it makes it really almost impossible for the offense to execute. So I think it's probably starts there. And so I think you look at it, to me, it's just, you got an offensive line group that struggled some last year. Found a little bit of a rhythm in their middle of the year, but injuries kind of hurt them then. But now you got another new scheme, another new O-line coach. I think for them, their heads are probably swimming a pretty good bit as they're trying to get through this spring.
I'm interested from your fans, the fans of your site and your work, how they reacted to Pegues being moved from the offense to the defense. Because, I don't think it was a novelty just seeing the big man play. I thought he had some talent at what he did offensively. Do you think fans were disappointed on that move to the defensive side? And why do you think that move happened?
We'll start with the second one first. I think the move happened because a guy at 300-plus pounds, even if you're athletic, the quick twitch, the things you've got to do now to be a threat on offense, it's just almost impossible. You can still be really athletic. You can still do a lot of good things. But to create separation, even at 300 pounds, you got to have that. Because these linebackers are big and they can run. So for me, I thought it was more about, if he's 265, then heck, he's maybe a little bit of a tight end, a little bit of Ironhead Hayward. But I just don't know that that's going to be an option for him. He's just a big kid. And so I think it's probably more about size first. And I think people understand. I think they look at it and go, where this guy's maybe his future. I kind of compared him a little bit to Leo Carson, a guy that was a former high school quarterback in Mobile, recruited to Auburn as a tight end. When he gets on campus, he weighs 275, 280 pounds and moves to the defensive line, and he ends up in the NFL. I think you look at going maximizing talent, size, all those things that come together, and I think probably here's the other thing. If you didn't have three or four tight ends that you felt pretty good about, probably don't make the move. But a guy like Tyler Fromm stepping up, John Samuel Schenker hasn't been out there this spring because of baseball, but you got Luke Deal, you got Brandon Frazier, and you got Landon King. You got guys at that position that makes it where you can, hey, let's see if we can get him on the field more and to help the team more.
Jason Caldwell, Inside the Auburn Tigers, with us on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. Speaking of those tight ends, it would be impossible to throw to them less than Gus Malzahn's offense did. You got to think Mike Bobo, JC, has a bigger role for the tight end catching the ball, not just blocking or being one of 11 guys on the field, but actually participating in the passing game.
Yeah, you're right. It'd be hard to be used much less. I actually ran into Tyler Fromm yesterday, and I said, what's the biggest difference for you guys? He goes, involvement.
Having the ball thrown to us?
That's all you need to know. And, of course, yeah. For him, he was a guy that wasn't even really – he didn't dress out but about half the games. All of a sudden, with the new staff, they come in and go, he's been with the first team most of the spring. A guy that, because of his receiving ability, when you're the younger brother of Jake Fromm and you got another brother that's also a college quarterback, Tyler Fromm's probably caught more passes in his life than just about anybody on earth his age. And so he's got receiving skills. he's gotten bigger and stronger. But you're right. I think, and especially when you combine that with who you lost at wide receiver for this team, losing Seth Williams, losing Anthony Schwartz, losing Eli Stove, the youth at that position, it lends to, hey, we got other guys that we can use and involve in this offense, especially until those guys continue to grow up and mature.
All right. I'm not going to say Derek Mason is going to have more success than Kevin Steele as a defensive coordinator at Auburn, because I thought Kevin Steele did a terrific job in his time at Auburn as the DC. But for a new coach coming in Brian Harsin, with all due respect to Mike Bobo, the Derek Mason hire seems to be a home run to me. Tell me how you have found Derek Mason as a coordinator and the job you think he is doing helping Brian Harsin get off the ground moving into this new venture down at Auburn.
I think it's huge having both him and Bobo, both guys that have been coordinators in this league, head coaches in this league, but also head coaches themselves, to have those guys to lean on, and, hey, this is what you can expect in the Southeastern Conference. I think it's huge for a guy like Brian Harsin coming in, but you're right about Derek Mason. It may not work out that way, but to me, I think it's as good a hire as you could possibly make. I thought it was a home run for sure. The players love what they're doing. I think they're going to be more multiple on defense, and to me, that's the key. I thought Auburn's defense was really good for, you know, 85% of the time under Kevin Steele, but it was the flip side of that, and I think it's one of the reasons why you've seen one specific move this spring. You know, teams like Alabama, LSU, others. LSU didn't score a bunch of points, but they had 580 yards against Auburn in you know, that 2019 game. Auburn did a good job in the red zone of keeping them off the scoreboard, but Alabama, we saw it with Minnesota in a bowl game. Hey, we saw it last year with Northwestern in a bowl game, too. The ability to go inside, move a guy like Devontae Smith, now nobody covered him anyway, but and get mismatches on the interior of a defense against the nickel. One of the reasons why Nehemiah Pritchett is now playing nickel, move Ladarius Tennyson to safety. You got to have more coverage guys on the field. And, do that, make yourself more multiple, and get more pressure on the quarterback. And I think those are things that are focal points for Derek Mason this spring.
You know, I keep wanting to write, you know, 7-5, 8-4 down for this team as just a realistic jumping off point for a new coaching staff and everything. And then I am reminded of who is playing linebacker sideline to sideline and how good that secondary is. That back seven of the Auburn defense on paper looks to be really good and deep too, right?
It's got a chance to be really good. You're right. When you bring back Chandler Wooten, who sat out last year after having, you know, a child and decided, hey, I want to take this season off because of COVID. He's back. So you got three real veteran guys at linebacker. Switching to a 3-4 allows you, you know, you look at one side, you got a guy like Derek Hall, who's up to 251 pounds as a pass rusher, Jaron Handy, Colby Wooden. You know, those guys up front, they've got depth across the board on defense. You're right in the secondary with, you know, Roger McCreary back, Jalen Simpson back. You mentioned Nehemiah Pritchett, Marco Domio. You bring in Deshaun Miller from West Virginia as a transfer who played really well for them last year. You've got all those pieces in place. Can you pick it up and let that scheme become kind of one? But I think the biggest thing is let those guys play football. And if they do that, I think this defense can keep them in a lot of games for sure.
JC, I've known you a long time, and you know in my ego, I think I'm the Roy Firestone of asking questions.
Well, can you give a more updated reference? Jason's young.
Jason knows.
I know who that is, but not a whole lot of people might not.
Yeah. Are my questions so emotional? Are you crying? Are you sniffling there, or is that just the allergies?
It is. It's being outside and cutting grass before it gets 85 today. That's what happens when you have allergies in Alabama this time of year. There's no getting around it. So sorry for my sniffle.
No, there's no issue at all.
No, it's no issue at all. In fact, I was like on a roll. I kept wanting to ask questions because I felt like I had you on the ropes. I was like,
he is so emotional
about this back seven right now. He's in tears.
Yes. No, he's just cutting grass.
Yeah.
I'm glad we could take you away from cutting grass. That's a nice break, I would imagine.
Yeah, if I was playing golf, it'd be a little bit better, but I'll take being outside and it's going to be 80 degrees today for sure.
You know, the allergies never bother me on the golf course. Now, yard work, they'll get me.
Me either, yep. Absolutely. I guess I you know, it's this mind over matter or matter over mind or whatever it is, but it works much better on the golf course than it does in your own yard.
Or I'm just lying to myself. Any of those, yes.
Yeah.
Jason, thank you for the time. Always great talking with you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Jason Colwell with us on the Jock Trail Table. He appeared on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline with zero sugar, zero carbs, only 80 calories. Try cucumber, lime, peach, pear, or spicy pineapple.